Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, head on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me. Please play this song on the radio. Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, we are back and live at Camp Cage Club, bringing you a in-person episode of Now and Again / The Emotion Minute. This is the Snap Reactions to Dedicated, and I'm with Nico Vasillo and King of the Podcast Network, Joey Lewandowski.
I have a question.
Yeah?
How many episodes have we done that are not in person? Like, how many times have you not been present when recording? Because, I mean, technically, we're all always in person with ourselves.
Sure. Are we counting the...
Well, you're getting that heady 40 seconds into this podcast?
Well, I mean, it's still sex if you're masturbating.
Yeah, and we are all three sheets to the wind, so this should be a pretty great episode. But are you... To answer your question, are we talking about episodes in the early seasons when you weren't there, or since, like, the official run of the show has started? Sorry to everyone who was on the earlier episodes.
You know, because, you know, here's the thing. I actually, it's really funny. So, with everything going on with the network and Joey building his mighty empire, my shows.
I'm tipping my cap to you.
I've been asking so many questions about what's this and what's that, and I do a lot of research, and I'm sure you've all caught that by now, and I like to go back through the episodes and take a look at things, and I recently counted how many episodes I've been on, and I believe this is my 115th episode, and so it's really exciting, and I checked just how many episodes of Now and Again I'm not on.
18?
You can definitely count it if you get naked, and
what?
So...
Toes...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little bit more than fingers and toes, yeah.
Yeah, you can get to 21, and so... It's one of those things where, like, I know it's definitely less than that, and I try and think about the episodes that I'm not on, because, like, when I talk to people about the show, I'm like, I'm not on some of the early ones, but you should still definitely check them out.
And they're the bad ones, and I'm saying that because I'm on the early ones. Don't listen to mine.
Episode 3, I believe.
That's the only thing that I really wanted. Like, so many of the early episodes, the people, like, the first thing they say is, hey, I'm Chris's friend, I don't like music. And I'm like...
Oh, yeah, like me.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, that's an interesting way to...
Oh, it's like, this is not what this podcast should be at all.
Well, I mean, it was a different, and this is fun because, you know, the 1,000th episode.
Did one of you draw this?
No, I saw that previously.
I didn't draw the dick.
There's a penis on Joey's. Joey wants to play the Carly Mae Madness.
I was going to email it in. I was like, wait, we're going to record an episode tomorrow.
I mean, it looks like mine, but I definitely didn't draw it. My balls hang lower.
Yeah. Mine doesn't quite hook to the right that much.
Oh, mine's definitely completely straight.
Oh, yeah, okay. So.
That's the only straight.
The early episodes.
Hey!
The early episodes, I think, were about something different. The original idea for the show was to be like, what's your connection to pop music from this era? But, like, at a certain point, like, everyone's the same age. So, like, you're going to hit a point where it's no one has a connection to pop music anymore.
Well, there is, I mean, I think the early episodes were worth it for that one story that Joe 2 told you about meeting somebody on a ship. What was that story?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a story
that was actually before I mean, kind of, we're having a first time meeting here.
Oh, yeah, I've never met
I remember meeting Joe 2 for the first time, like, a year and a half ago, probably.
Maybe.
Great, love him. But this is the first time Nico and Joey have ever been in the same physical location.
Like Nico's probably one of the three people on the planet that I talk to more than anybody else.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
definitely.
I've never met him.
And what's really, it's so crazy because you're saying, you know, one of the things is, I try and associate things and create mental images, especially of people that I haven't met, so that I have a strong idea of what you look like and what you move like. I'm somebody
who... And what I sound like.
Absolutely. Well, I'm like I'm somebody who I think meeting me in person enhances the experience. There's a lot of people for whom being in person with them makes no difference.
Yeah.
But my gesticulation is a huge part of who I am. So I try and...
Well, like, I just saw you dancing while Chris was talking to no music. There's no music.
No music. Only music in your head.
I am dancing to Here Come the Hot Stepper in my head. Because that's a song that I bring up a lot, and Kevo just mentioned me that it's playing outside.
Sure.
And so, in my head, I'm just dancing to Here... I am the lyrical gangster. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. So, I just think this has been such a fascinating thing, because when you say that I am exclusively a bundle of relationships with pop music, it really is true. One of the things that I think is so funny about this whole experience and this whole project is all the ways in which that we never talk about pop music. all the ways in which the way we talk about pop music is always about a bigger context, because not only can I not stay on topic, but what we're actually trying to discuss is we're trying to discuss the larger cultural impact of pop music as it shaped us, as it shaped the world, as it was a reflection of the world. You know, one of the big things is we're coming up on an episode that's going to feature the first appearance of Christina Aguilera. At this point, Britney Spears has already had 11...
Christina has not been on it now yet?
She has not.
Has she only been in the omissions?
She's only been in the omissions. It was something we discovered...
Wow, remember the omissions. Go back to, like, episode 13 of this show, folks.
Right? And if you go back to the episode where we did all of the statistics, she has had no appearances, but she's finally going to appear with Ain't No Other Man.
Wait, Genie in the Bottle was not on now?
Genie, that's even what I'm getting at.
That was an exclusion, and Lady Marmalade was an exclusion, or an omission, I'm sorry.
And Britney Spears has appeared 12 times. Are we really saying that Britney Spears has been 12 times more successful than Christina Aguilera? I would say she has been at least a bit more successful.
I'd give 6.
But I don't know that I would give it 12.
No.
And that is so much what we're talking about here. No one is saying that anybody doesn't have a relationship with pop music in a general sense. We can't escape it. Our lives are dictated by popular culture in so many ways. But one of the things I'm walking away from this with is we all experience pop music in different ways, because I've been sitting here going, where the fuck is Christina Aguilera?
Right.
And both of you were just like, wait a minute, no Christina? And I'm like, I've said it 6 times.
Not wrong.
Oh, that's it. I don't have more.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, do we want to talk? What we're here for is to talk dedicated. The
Wait,
new
before
Carly
that,
Rae
let
Jepsen
me do the, let me yeah, do the March Madness.
I was gonna say that. Okay, Joey wants you to know what his bracket looked like.
So I'm just gonna do my Elite Eight because
Can
I
you
feel like
do this is Brack from Space Ghost.
Oh, that would be really good.
Actually, I'll just do my Final Four because you guys did a.
You
whole...
know that Randy Savage played Ghost. What's the Ghost Space Ghost? I was gonna call him Ghost Dad, but Ghost Dad
Space
is
Ghost Coast to Coast.
Ghost Dad, the dad of
Bill
Space
Cosby?
Ghost. No, Randy Savage.
Well, Bill Cosby's in a movie called Ghost Dad.
Oh, he is, but the dad of Space Ghost is played by Randy Savage, R.I.P.D.
Wait, that was a wrestler, right?
Yes, Macho Man. Yeah.
Wait, the Macho Man and Randy Savage are one person.
They're the same.
The Macho
person,
Man and Randy Savage.
Yeah. They're...
Okay, this whole time I thought Macho Man and Randy Savage were two people that fought, or were like a tag team.
Well, they were the same person.
Because I thought it was like Macho and Savage.
Nope.
Like, so he had two nicknames?
Well, no, his name was Randy Savage.
The Macho Man, comma, Randy Savage.
Was his legal name Randy Savage?
No, that was his wrestling name.
Okay, so he had two nicknames.
Well, most wrestlers have a different stage name.
I mean, but is it like one of those things where his last name was like Suave?
Poffo.
That's not even unacceptable. I don't... Sorry he's dead, but he made bad decisions in life.
Really? You wanted to keep Poffo to go into the wrestling industry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Poffo Buffo, and I'm Puffo Buffo, and I'm...
That's a clown. That's a buff clown at a circus.
That's Carrot Top.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry,
so I'm gonna do my Final Four.
He
just
wants
because
to do
you
this
spent,
so badly.
Well, because you... The last episode was a 40-minute episode. You did half an hour on the bracket, and, like, your buddy Fourpush, your European correspondent, you're like, hey, we've got, like, 4 sentences about Warm Blood. We don't like it. Next?
That's not a correct representation
it's
of
not
it.
Incorrect.
We liked it.
Well, I mean, I do think about 20 minutes got dedicated to creating random characters.
That all got cut.
No, that's a different episode. Coming soon. Coming soon.
So exciting. But I did actually think the brackets were a lot of fun. There's something really statistician-y about this show. So please, impress us with your statistics.
Well, my final four are Cut to the Feeling.
Good,
of course.
Run Away with Me.
Yep.
Yep.
Too Much.
Yep.
Because that's, again, sort of like Carly. Like, that's
Carly's
the modern.
There, yeah.
That's the,
with me.
And Favorite Color.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
That's the Cinderella run, but I'm into it. Yeah.
So I did Too Much over Favorite Color because I think that's just, again, in my brain.
Same.
The... Stunning upset. Cut
to the feeling over Runaway.
And then my favorite song on the bracket, Cut to the Feeling.
Wow. Okay.
So we have 3 different favorite songs.
And Carly has a 4.
Including Carly.
Because yours is...
Runaway with Me.
Oh, no. And mine was Emotion.
Emotion.
And Carly's was
Too Much.
And yours is Cut to the Feeling.
Yeah.
So this is actually really great. And I do
love that.
I do love...
It's like the primary colors of Carly Rae Jepsen.
Right? Cause
it's like the favorite colors of Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
When you try and sit down and you're like, I'm going to talk about my favorite LFO song. It's Summer Girls. And like, you know, no one's ever like, girl on TV. Fuck you. Actually, 2 of the guys from LFO are dead. So pour one out.
Yeah. R.I.P.D.
But, you know, and...
2 of 3, right? They're almost all gone.
Yeah, 2 of 3. And whatever...
LNF or...
He's an endangered species.
Whatever cancer didn't take... I can't think of his name. Oh, this joke would have been so funny if I just gotten
it. Womp womp.
Who's the guy that raped them all?
Oh,
Lou Pearlman.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just fell. So, and whatever Cancer didn't take, Lou Pearlman did. Edit that good. So.
Oh, well, that's getting all of that is cut. That's cool. The end of the episode. If you heard that, then you're a dedicated listener.
Well, speaking of dedicated, wink.
Oh, good transition. That's why you're the head of the podcasting network.
I'm a pro, baby.
So let's talk about snap reactions to dedicated. It's been out about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
We've been listening to it pretty nonstop,
How many
think,
times have you listened to it, would you say, in total?
8.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Oh, boy.
18?
100?
800?
Like, let's just go with 30.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's, like, go with a generous 30.
Well, Chris and I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, we did. Something I learned, and I'm going to throw this out there, but we're going to talk about the full thing that we have. Apparently, the actual album ends at track 13, Real Love, and For Sure and Party for One are bonus tracks, but every possible, like, way you can get it right now has that on it. So, like,
yep.
It's all the special edition right now. And only if you get it on vinyl do you get, like, the normal album, which means you're getting less, which is kind of weird. So we're not going to talk about it in that context. We're just going to talk about everything that we have, all 15 songs going from Julian to Party
all
for One.
48 minutes and 37 seconds of
it. And it is let's start with that. This is a brisk 49 minutes.
Well, what I feel like, the day this came out, there were a couple other albums that came out. I know this is not like a Tyler, the Creator podcast, but like Igor came out and a couple other albums came out that same day.
I haven't
listened
to
And they were
to,
all
to
like
the,
45 minutes. I was like, this is great.
The Tyler,
like,
the Creator album has some of the best production
it's
I have
really,
like, ever
really
fucking
good.
I haven't listened to the Charlie Bliss album yet because I don't want, like, two of my favorite artists to poison each other, so I'm like, I'm really waiting until, like, I'm into Dedicated before I even start that album.
I think one of the things, saying that it's such a brisk 48 minutes, it really helps that every one of the songs is, like, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
which love is it. The perfect it's like a punk pop album.
Yeah, and there's something light about the fact that I think, you know, sometimes when I think about My Precious Janet Jackson and I think about some of those songs are, like, 6 minutes long, and, like, I love the 6 minute mix of All Right, but I don't know anybody else that wants to listen to 6 minutes of her voice being auto-tuned by 80s standards, doing funny vocal gymnastics over a vocoder. That's no one's idea of a good time, and there's something really interesting, especially because we're living in an age where what's more important now than album sales is number of streams. So if she has shorter songs, you stream them quicker.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's something to the fact that you can get through 2 plays of this album in an hour and a half. And something that Chris and I used to belabor was the fact that 10 years ago, every record was 26 tracks across 4 bonus editions. It was 2.5 hours long, and you had to have a DVD player to hear the last song.
A region-free DVD player.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you had to make sure that your Blu-ray set was hooked up through HDMI or it wouldn't work.
Put it in your CD-ROM drive and get 2 extra editions on
and
your...
You have to install QuickTime 4.0.
Oh, or a real player.
Oh my God, the real audio files. And you always had to get your parents to put you on adult AOL settings or you couldn't connect outside.
Ooh, it's trash. So, I don't want to go track by track because that's for another day. But what are your standouts so far on this album?
Well, I was telling you this morning that there's the 4-track-in-a-row section of I'll Be Your Girl to Too Much to the Sound to Automatically in Love, which is like the four... I don't want to say the 4 best songs on the album, but it was like the 4 best songs I think on the album that weren't singles.
I mean, I would even extend that because we just recorded the bracket episode, but I kind of forgot because I'm not as good with names and stuff like that. So I forgot what Feels Right was, but on the write up, like I did Feels Right a disservice in the bracket because that's a great song, and Right Words, Wrong Time is fantastic too. So I would even extend that to like a 6. Happy Not Knowing, too? Like, that's a 7-track run. Honestly...
100%. That is what it is.
I've said this about Emotion. You got that first 3, you got some dead space, you got that middle 3, and then it kind of trails off. Like, this... The weakest part of this is the beginning, and the beginning is still strong as hell.
I don't know that I think the weakest part is the beginning. I'm going to get booed, I think, a little bit, but I think the part that kind of loses me is a little bit like 11, 12, 13. I don't think that Right Words, Wrong Time, or Real Love are bad songs. But I do think that that's the point at which the album gets a little bit muddy.
Okay.
I think there is a very clear story from Julian to Too Much. That 8 tracks in a row really tells something. And I do feel that it's the track order that in a lot of ways informs the quality here. Party for One as a statement at the end makes it work so well. Party for One in the middle of this record would have made me slap it. And I feel like one of the things about that that comes to mind is when you're saying these things to me and you're saying... you know, there's this great run or there's that great run. I'm fascinated to know what would happen if we took this record and we did a dam on it and we said, nope, you have to listen to it backward now. Or you're supposed to turn it inside out.
I was
then...
what's it? What's doing a dam? Oh, right. But yes,
Part of
okay.
One sounds like a pretty decent opener, not going to lie.
But as an opener, it totally changes the song. Because...
But then Julian as a closer is also kind of great,
too.
And
that's cool. Amazing, right? Because one of the things about this record is I feel like Emotion told me 15 different women living inside of Carly Rae through a projection on a made-up 1986 Billboard playlist. It was a very specific throwback take on Rihanna, on Sia, on Adele, on all of these very poppy, active women. But there is nothing any other woman about Dedicated. And in that regard, I feel Dedicated tells a bit more of a story than the other than Emotion did, or Emotion Side B, for that matter. And I feel like Party for One at the end is... a realization that she, if you don't care about her, she's fine.
Just jerk off.
Just jerk off, because Julian really is that I can't get over
yep.
you. And then Party for One is this realization. Flipping the album makes it less mature.
Yeah.
And I feel like Julian as a closer is mind-blowing, but it's a sadder note.
Yeah.
Party for One is a strong statement as a fine, hey, psh, I'm back on my beat. But something about, you know, Julian, you know, I need you with every breath I breathe. It's, she's so wistful.
It's kind of a downer of an ending, right?
It's yeah. kind of why I feel like the...
It's like the end of Requiem to a Dream instead of the end of Wizard of Oz.
It's kind of why I feel like the whole concept of, like, the actual album ends at Real Love is kind of almost like retconning what actually happens. So it's like, oh, we could only fit up to 13. So that's the real album and everything else is a bonus. Because... it feels wrong, because I would say Right Words, Wrong Time, Real Love for sure, Party for One, tells its own kind of third act of this album in a really interesting way. And it ending on, we've talked about this before, none of us really loved Party for One on its own. But in the context of it being a last track of Dedicated, it honestly works really well to me. For sure is probably my least favorite track on the entire thing we have so far. And I'm not going to be sad that I missed For Sure and Party for One on the vinyl. But it does really seem...
the vinyl drops two of them?
The vinyl drops two of them, and
wow,
it comes
okay.
out next month, I believe. I think you could end on Real Love, but I think it's a more complete story if you get For Sure and Party for One in there. It's someone who's not ending the place in a lost love kind of thing. It's someone who's ending the place in a comfortable with being single place, and I think that's a better ending for Dedicated than Real Love would be, honestly.
And it's really interesting that you say something about the vinyl, because there's something about this album that really... this album is all production in a
ooh.
Lot of fascinating ways.
Can we put a pin in that and come back to that?
Absolutely.
Let's keep talking about it, but I just want to counter that.
I definitely think the production on this album is spectacular. And I'm desperately curious to know how it sounds different on vinyl.
Yeah, same. So Emotion on vinyl sounds very similar. Like, I don't think much was done. It's like, it's the usual thing from a digital recording to vinyl. So it's like, oh, it's a little bit warmer on vinyl. But for some reason, I really do honestly feel like Side B is mixed differently. Or it's just a better pressing or something like that. Like, Side B sounds great on vinyl, and Emotions just sounds like Emotion on vinyl.
I know that for the Tori Amos... special edition vinyls, they did all get remixed, so, and they were remixed by the same people that did the CDs.
Okay.
So there is something to people that do nice vinyl pressings of stuff that they want to sell to hipsters at
mm-hmm.
Barnes & Noble.
That's me.
If you can sell it to a white guy,
it's Urban Outfitters this time. I think the vinyl's
true.
Going straight
Urban
there.
Urban Outfitters is the exclusive distributor of the Booksmart soundtrack, so
pre-ordered. There you...
I, for the first time ever, spent a dollar at Urban Outfitters.
Hmm. I think I want at least one button-down plaid shirt from them.
I feel like I might have bought like a clearance item at some point.
Sure, yeah.
Like sometime where I was like, I can live with the, mm-hmm. the white trash I am for this.
So I want to talk about the production on this actually, because I think it's fine, but I think it's a massive step down from Emotion. And
really?
there's two places in specific that I want to talk about that I think. Well, there's... okay, so let's talk about the production first, and then we'll come back to the other point I want to make. But there's two songs on this that I think could be my favorite Carly Rae Jepsen songs of all time if the production was a little more aggressive, actually. And it is...
wait, real quick question. Is
yeah?
Runaway With Me your favorite song, or is it your favorite song on the bracket?
Of all time?
No, of hers.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. Emotion is probably mine.
Yeah.
I think Cut to the Feeling is mine, too. Okay, continue.
Okay, cool. There you go. So, I'm going to start with... Right Words, Wrong Time. Right Words, Wrong Time.
Actually, that
we've been drinking
like it was
at
the
Camp
wrong
Cage
words
Club.
Right there.
Camp Cage Club is a little half in the bag, so...
there's a lot of beer outside.
I love the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun to Right Words, Wrong Time. I love that chorus. I think if there was more punch to it, it would be even stronger. But it's kind of a weak little kind of bass punch in those bump, 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 bump. I think it's almost holding itself back.
Do you think that's a little bit of the anachronistic sound that she's always trying to capture, that everything sounds a little bit through a lens of zeitgeist?
Maybe, but Right Words, Wrong Time is the most modern song. Like, it straight up has a trap beat to it. And I think it works really well in the context of the end of the album as kind of being the most anachronistic, because nothing on this album, as we've just talked about, is as pace-breaking as Warm Blood or Black Heart. I think this is a more tonally parallel album all the way through. Like, there's no breaks as hard as there are in Emotion.
I agree, although I do think there's a really weird thing, though, about this record that's kind of coming out, but it's not coming out. Like, we're all kind of like dancing around it, but we're not saying it. One of the weirder things about this record is that in all the ways that it's a parallel record, I think it's less homogenized in terms of like it's Coldplay syndrome, where we say that every song on Parachutes sounds different, but there's four songs on A Rush of Blood to the Head. I think there's four songs on Emotion, but I think there are 15 songs here.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, I actually feel that there are a few songs that are super enhanced by the production. Like, I'll Be Your Girl and Want You in My Room.
Objection.
Those are the two songs that I think stand out so well because of the production.
So this will transfer into the other thing I was going to talk about. So I feel like she's doing a lot of different styles on this album. And I'll Be Your Girl is a great example of one, because I feel like I'll Be Your Girl is somewhere between, like, maybe it started off as inspired by The Police, but ended up kind of sounding like a Return of Saturn No Doubt song.
Yeah.
And the problem is, it's so limp. The horns are there, but they barely exist. It needs more instrumentation, like it needs a guitar in there. Instead, it's just like these kind of limp, like, bah, 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 like boring chords. Like, if this was a fully fleshed out No Doubt song with a full band, which is why I'm very excited about seeing her live in two months, because I think this song will get one of the biggest improvements live, but I just wish this song sounded fuller, because the horns, like, are so limp in the song. When we had fucking Run Away With Me, which is driven by an incredible, incredible sax.
Okay. I see you stop because my hand went up.
No, do it.
I think I understand what you're saying, and I think it's a genre thing. What I'm hearing is one of the things you don't like about I'll Be Your Girl is that it's a Return of Saturn No Doubt song through a Colby Kaleidoscape. And it's like literally,
I see 30 Starbucks cups shifted through fractals. Yeah.
It's some kind of like Rube Goldberg machine of latte gaze.
It feels like a MIDI version of a No Doubt song, honestly.
But, like, it doesn't have, and you know what's missing from it? What makes up for the lack of instrumentation in a No Doubt song, because they're four very average musicians,
sure,
is that I can already hear Gwen Stefani be like, come to bed, I'll be a girl.
Yep. Ah! I think the horns would be there and up in front. The horns are, like, hidden behind the entire song until the outro. And that could be my favorite. I think it's maybe my favorite song on this album, but it could be my favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song, period.
Jepsen song.
That's new. Put it in Urban Dictionary.
Yep.
It could be my favorite Jepsen song.
And also into the Wawa Wikipedia.
Yeah.
All three of us were just immediately like, that's it.
That was it.
If only it had some kind of punch behind its hits, and I feel the same way about Right Words, Wrong Time. It hits, it's hitting, but it's not powerful.
And I feel like
it's like it's pulling its punches.
For me, the song that was on Emotion was I Really Like You.
Okay.
I Really Like You suffers from something really interesting that, like, Too Much is one of my favorite Carly Rae songs ever. Like, bar none.
It's great.
What do you think about the video?
I haven't watched the video yet.
It's a little weird.
Not good.
I really think that with just the right amount of food dye in the other direction...
I'm not sure she's ever done a good video. Sorry.
No, she hasn't.
No.
But the right amount of food dye in the right direction, it would be a Taylor Swift song. This song.
Yeah. What do you mean by food dye? I know you mean,
like,
by food dye, but in terms of music.
You just need to color it a little bit differently, the tone of it. Instead of being this sort of like, I'm 33, this is who I am, I know I'm a little bit too much, but you know what? I'm me, and that's what it is. It would be a much more saccharine, self-considered song. And I think one of the things about this record's production is, while it is a really rough width and breadth of sound, by streamlining the production on everything in the way that it did, while I totally get what you're saying, I'll Be Your Girl could have a much more dynamic, full sound, making sure that it could be on the same record as Too Much superseded an individual song's need. And I wonder if maybe a single mix would do it a favor, or, and I know we don't live in the era of single mixes anymore, but maybe a single mix or an iTunes EP, or who the fuck cares? All of these artists now can just be like, hi, it's me, Carly Rae Jepsen. Go on my website and just give me $5 directly, and I'm going to send you 36 songs. Fuck the labels. And like, who's going to stop her?
Am I wrong in thinking that it's very ska-inspired just from its creation? It feels... That's why initially I thought it was Police, and I want to actually segue into this this kind of idea that I have. Like, I feel like that was very Police-inspired, and I feel like there's a lot of songs on this that are... Let's say Emotion was kind of feeding off of a Cyndi Lauper, Tiffany, kind of mall pop, maybe, kind of sound, and this one is all over the place. Like, yeah. I would argue... Yeah, I already mentioned
but
kind
all
of the Police thing.
Way.
Oh, 100%. And that I do, even though I feel like it has more inspirations, it sounds like a more cohesive album. And Nico, I want to send you this question. I think in that bracket video that she did with BuzzFeed, she referred to Automatically in Love as her Mariah song. Now, no one in this room is going to argue that vocally she's approaching Mariah in any way. We've always kind of said Carly's not the
best.
Excuse
me,
vocalist.
I would like to make a... I don't.
Okay. So, tonally, do you think that Automatically in Love kind of... is a Mariah song? Like, does she hit the notes of style cover that we've kind of talked about previously?
Can I be needlessly complicated and relay back a series of thoughts that expresses my answer?
Oh, so you mean like, can you do what everybody does on a podcast?
Anyone
yes,
who is still listening is fine with that, I'm
okay.
pretty sure.
So if I'm not mistaken, you are a gentleman who Chris, you are a gentleman who loves things of Lost. And
yeah.
Joey, you are a very big Lost person.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm
now,
excited for where this is going.
The writers of Lost, or two of the main writers from Lost, would go on to create, showrun, head write, and executive produce Once Upon a Time for Disney.
Okay.
I have now seen every episode of both shows. And I can comfortably tell you, thematically, if you're looking for an emotional successor to Lost that hits a lot of the same notes and a lot of the same beats, Once Upon a Time is a perfect show for you.
Huh.
If what you want is that sort of interconnected interplay of happenstance told in a disjointed past, present, future, sidestepping reality sort of way, Once Upon a Time is Lost without any of the trial and error.
I'm going to dub that, much like I coined Latte Gaze, I'm going to dub that Romantic Whimsy.
I love that, Romantic Whimsy. So in a lot of ways, I did not care for Lost as much as I know you two did. I like Once Upon a Time a lot. Kevo loves Once Upon a Time, and he loves Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Thematically, I see how they're connected. I would never, ever say that Once Upon a Time is like Lost.
Okay.
But I understand how thematically
yeah.
they share certain things. I think a show that is a lot more like Lost would be... oh my god, and it just jumped out of my head, and now I wish I was dead.
Who's in it? What's it? What is it?
You're so much fun.
Well, I mean, Lost is also like The Leftovers is like refined Lost. Like, it's darker, depressing Lost, but it's also like Lindelof, that's, like, we know you had questions, but we're not answering the questions now. Right. We're doing the existential, we don't know what's happening, but just know from the jump that you're not going to get answers.
Okay.
Right, and you know, that's a perfect example. There are better shows to say are Lost-like. My New Lost. But... a lot of people say to me, when I say, how has Supernatural been on the air for 15 years? They say to me, well, yeah. The X-Files got 9. And I'm like, yes, but if you're comparing the X-Files to Supernatural, you're missing the point. But maybe they're not. And maybe for a lot of people, the things that they extrapolate from the X-Files are all the things that they need to extrapolate out of Supernatural. I personally do not believe that it is a Mariah song.
Okay.
But for Carly Rae, as a songwriter and as a performer...
I forgot that was the question.
If she's able to... find her Mariah in that song, then who the fuck am I to criticize?
I mean, from my limited knowledge, the chorus does feel like it could have been a Mariah song that never made Butterfly or something like that.
It... you know what?
I think there's more soul to the melody of that chorus. Like, going up and then coming back... I'm not going to try to sing when I'm drunk as shit. But like, going up and coming down feels a little Mariah-esque, but it's... I mean, like, no, she's not in that, like, octave... fucking spread that obviously.
Mariah can't even get there anymore. It's about every Mariah. So Mariah songs use a lot of sevenths, and they use a lot of minor progressions, and she loves to hit a diminished chord on the way up and down. And I think it's a great song, but it's there ish.
Okay, I mean, and I think that is the best you can hope for between the style of pop between Carly Rae Jepsen and Mariah Carey is like they're not the same. But if she's kind of doing her own style cover, much like she's very much doing her own style cover, and I think what is maybe the most contentious song on this album, which is Everything He Needs, like, that is just a Hall & Oates song.
Oh, 100%.
He eats meat. He eats meat. He eats meat. He
yeah,
eats meat.
Yeah, that's all we sing as well at home. He eats meat.
I didn't see that. Nico messaged that to us on Facebook. I was just like, oh, I can't not hear that.
No, you can't hear
no.
He eats meat. He eats meat.
Well, I've been poisoned forever.
Also, for what it's worth, I think the closest thing to Lost right now is probably The Good Place.
That is such a great example of a show that is thematically connected to Lost in that same kind of Mariah.
Like, it's not Lost at all, but it's Lost.
Yeah, I love The Good Place so much. It's so
okay.
Good.
Holy forking shirtballs.
Holy forking shirtballs. And every time Chidi takes off his shirt, woof, that man is ripped.
They just did an interview, Alan Sepinwall on Rolling Stone Now just did an interview with Michael Schur, and they asked about that. He's just like, well, Chidi is the kind of personality who, like, is so stressed out and so nervous all the time that, like, working out is a good way to relieve that. So, like, it makes sense that he's ripped. It's like, also, there's no reason for Chidi to be that ripped, but, like, do you watch The Good Place?
One day.
There's this nerdy bookish character that, like, one day took a shirt off and he's got, like, a 12-pack. It's just like, oh.
But, and he's huge.
But
he's
like,
not just ripped.
But he's always in, like, button-downs and sweaters.
That's
and just
the joke
looks like
of Chris Hemsworth in the Girl Busters.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
But Chidi has a superhero body that superhero actors
but he's
have.
But he okay. was buried under sweaters
it's
for two
buried,
and a half years.
I see.
He's buried under Cosby sweaters.
Okay. And then he took his sweater off. He took his shirt off and, like, the internet lost its mind. It's just like, wait, what? You were hiding that the entire time?
And they literally say...
Oh, by the way, Chris and I were at a Marriott this morning for brunch. Shout out Marriott, sponsored now and again. And there was at least one wedding party, if not two wedding parties. And men and women alike, Chris and I would have sex with all of them. Because it was the most beautiful gathering of people.
Clearly a rich wedding, because you can't be... There can't be that many people who are that attractive. And
they were all like 25 to 35 and all like... 9+.
Every one of them could have been in some sort of catalog of
as
clothing.
The only at least print hot. On this yeah. show, I am disappointed. I was as a 9. I am disappointed that I wasn't at my calling here. Ah, you know.
There was one dude who looked like his style was taken from Jeff Hardy. So
I missed
it. It went both.
I still
ways.
Don't know that he existed because Chris is like, there he is, and like we looked over and then he was gone. So I don't know that he's there. Chris might be seeing shapes.
One time, Kevo and I thought that one guy was two different guys at the gym. I would constantly be like, "Have you seen the guy in the red shirt with like the hair? But he's like pretty jacked, but he's like kind of short." And Kevo's like,
"No, I saw the blue guy with no hair."
No, he's like, "I saw the guy in the red shirt, but he's like average height, and he's like not that muscular." And I'm like. No, he's really short, and he's jacked, and, like, eventually I'm, like, found him, and Kevin's like, found him, and we're both like, hit! Oh. Well, at least we both want to fuck him.
You gotta get them in the fly machine together, and then they'll be, like, the perfect fuckable species.
Well, it's the same guy.
Wait, I thought you were saying
okay.
that they were two separate
people.
No,
it's one guy
it was...
that we've... But also, this is the gym.
You know what?
Chris,
that
was the fly machine.
Chris, that was the
like,
whole point of the story.
When you said the fly machine, I'm like, wait, like, the chest fly... I got
yes.
really confused
you're
for
totally
a second.
You're totally right. What you were saying
get your
is
brain out of the gym
exactly...
For a second.
The thing I was thinking of, and not the thing that's
this is, I think, the third
wrong.
Time in the last 18 hours that Chris has referenced the fly machine, so I know exactly what he's talking about.
Guess what body horror Cronenberg movie I've seen the most recently?
The Fly?
Anyway.
I really do laugh that loud in person.
So as...
It tracks.
So dedicated, critically. Now, I'm not paying much attention to your Entertainment Weeklys or Rolling Stones, because I've talked before on the show about never trust a publication that is taking... advertisements from a record company that can really change the
sure.
reviews. But, you know, your Pitchforks or your indie kind of stuff, your Needle Drops.
I'm going to go by Metascores. And
sure.
the Metascore for this, for AllMusic, is the highest all-time Metascore ever by
wow.
users.
Okay.
It has a 98% Meta rating on Google Music.
It just beat out Tori Amos for the
highest
Metacritic.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that in the green room. Yeah.
This was the strangest
user.
Thing. So the highest ever user... rating for an album was Scarlet's Walk by Tori Amos, which is one of my two favorite records by mm-hmm. Tori. In the holy grail of Tori music, there's a top three albums, and it's Scarlet's Walk, Boys for Pele, and Little Earthquakes. Those are the three. And inexplicably, Scarlet's Walk was still the best aggregate score of any album on the internet.
We learned that Nico is Metacritic, or Metacritic is Nico, one way or the other.
Right.
Hey, it works out well for me. It just means I'm always right.
Well, something I found
Nico
interesting was that both Fantano and
Nico.
Pitchfork both gave it like mid sevens, so like 7.4, 7.5.
Is that good?
Which, well, I mean, when you adjust it for people who reserve their tens for Radiohead and Death Grips, then it's pretty fucking good.
So,
I think
people who have taste,
right? Well, I just want to say that's the same grading they gave Emotion.
Right.
So that means it is. This is the critical assumption is this is a parallel step and not a backwards
but does that,
or forward step.
Is there a question like if the same person has two albums where they're both a 7.5, for instance? Shouldn't that sort of, in a weird way, mean the second one is better? Because if the first one is that, and
or does
it
mean the second one
good,
is worse? Because it didn't
tough.
Grow. But So one of the really weird things about education that this country has lost sight of is once upon a time,
the
you
TV
were
show?
Supposed to... What?
The TV show?
Yes, once upon a time, exactly. There was a... Out of every 10 students, you were supposed to design it that one got an A, one got an F, two got a D, two got a B, and four got C's.
This classic bell curve.
Was, exactly. Yeah. And that was how things were supposed to be designed. And nobody really wants to hear that you're average. So I really understand how life has shifted so that we have put a higher quality of concentration on everyone getting an A. But genuinely, if a C is average, right? Just like, let's say a C is average. That means you like half the songs. And when an album costs $9 now, that means you like $4.50 that you're going to play 45 times and you're getting your money's worth.
Do you still buy albums? Like paid albums?
Yeah, I do. I still buy records for specific people like Tori, Kim.
Like record, like vinyl or like just CDs? Vinyl.
I get vinyls okay. of special people that I might get signed or if it's something where I really want to hear the sound quality difference.
Yeah, same.
I also get records of specific people who like I just want to frame it. Like if it's an art piece, like Tori has a lot of really special edition
records.
But
do you buy CDs anymore? Or no?
Yeah. Okay. I always buy a CD copy of something that I'm not buying a record of that I want the liner notes for.
Okay.
So I don't do digital liner notes. I'll never listen to it. I just might open it up. But, like, I buy everything Janet, everything Mariah, everything.
And I'm not judging as we're recording in front of my one of four DVD racks where it's all physical media.
No, I mean, I'm going to grab this on vinyl as soon as I can. You know, I'm
still got to get the motion, but yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to find. It's getting tougher to find, side B especially. So are we in agreement with the critics, I guess, the reasonable critics, that this is... At the very least, because we were nervous. I think our assumption was this is going to be a step back.
I was not.
And we're okay with that.
I want to give a shout-out to myself from a year and a half ago. You guys were like, it's not going to be as good as Emotion. And I was like, but what if it is? And you guys were like, no, it doesn't have to be. I was like, but what if it is? And guess what? It is.
I mean, I think it's okay for an artist to stay the same album to album. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think if you do that too often, you become the band that I liked when I was 18 who's been singing about the same thing for 15 years. And it's like, listen, Jake, how are you still singing about getting out of your small Florida town? Like, I was into that when I was in high school, but now I'm 33 and you're still singing about that? What are we doing?
Well, it's Linkin Park syndrome, where the first two Linkin Park albums line up perfectly, like track by track. And it's that... those two Nickelback songs that you can play on top of each other. My end of the day, you either need to have increased in concept, you need to have increased in content, or you need to have increased in quality. And I don't need all three across the board. I don't even really need two of the three. If you can promise me one increase, I'll take it. And I genuinely do believe, while it is a minuscule increase and it ranges song to song, I do believe that there is an increase here.
Okay, Joey?
I think it's too early for me to really say.
Fair.
Because I've heard Emotion probably 50 times, and I've heard this one 8. And I think it's easy for me to be like, oh, yeah, it's as good, but also, in my heart, I don't know that it is. I mean, I think it probably is, but I also don't know that it is just because the first time I heard Emotion, I mean, I feel like the first time I heard Emotion was on an airplane. I don't remember where I was going, but I was like, oh, my God, like, this was made for me. And I love this new one. This new one is great, and I'm very happy listening to it. And I love, we were saying this morning, I dislike zero songs, and I love that about it, but I don't know that an album that came out a month ago or whatever can compare to, on my dating profile, I like Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion album, like, is my first disclaimer. Like, if you want to know who I am, this is me in, like, Nicolas Cage, Breakfast Tacos, Emotion, and horror movies. And, like, if that's what you're looking for, that's me in a thing. And so,
Send me a gay you. That sounds great.
Yeah, a lady you. Great.
That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know that I can compare the two. I know that it's more wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
It makes me want to go back to Kiss. I know that Kiss is a wildly different thing.
Hope we'll be doing that at some point, yeah.
But I've really appreciated and listened. Like, I know that at one point in the history of the show, I was somehow going to be involved in the Now and Again, or the Emotion Minute, and I'm glad that I'm not, because I don't have enough to say about the production, so I enjoy listening to you two sort of Song Explode, or whatever the podcast is, each Carly Rae song over 10 or 12 minutes.
There's an actual episode of Song Exploder about a Carly Rae Jepsen song.
But I think it's really cool what you guys are doing, and bouncing around, and sort of, you know, going from song to song, and you're not overly gushing about each song, but you, out in your core, obviously love her, and like each song to some extent, and I think it's really cool, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I think the best way I can summarize it is I'm probably on that same adjusted scale of 7.5. Like, I'm obviously push it up for me, but, like, I agree that it's kind of a parallel step or a horizontal step versus a step up or a step back. And I was willing to accept, like, one step back, you know, because I had to believe that nothing could be as good as motion. And I've had a conversation with someone about this where I was talking to her and she said, well, I listened to it once through and there wasn't a bop as hard as like Run Away With Me. And I was like, okay, sure. But did you get mad that like, would you have gotten mad that Off the Wall didn't have Thriller too? And she was like, I don't know, maybe. And I guess that's a fair criticism, I guess. And I kind of agree with that. I don't think there's any song on this that's a 10, but I don't think there's any song on this that's a 4. And I think Emotion does have those. So while I think the average of Emotion comes out to about a 7.5, I would say this Cold is like a 7.5 straight through, bowl straight down the alley strike. Like
this is a Rush Blood to the head again.
Exactly.
Reverse.
It's consistent all the way through, but the highs aren't as high and the lows aren't as low. And right now, I mean, between this and I haven't listened to... I own the Charlie Bliss vinyl, but I haven't listened to it yet because I want to give it some time. But if every song is as good as the 4 singles that they released, like, I think my 1 and 2 albums of the year are already locked in, kind of.
Hey, I'm about it. Get that shit out the way early. Know what you like.
I just don't see anything else coming and surprising me as hard as, like, established bands that I love. And, like, yeah, okay, fuck you. Like, sorry, I'm not getting paid to be a critic, so there's going to be some personal stuff in there until
yet.
You pay me for it. So,
yet.
Yeah, pay me. So I can't be... independent of the emotion that I feel from these albums, no pun intended. And yeah, Dedicated, I don't think any of us are saying that Dedicated is not fantastic. Like, we are all on board with this album, and we will be listening to it in our cars for the next year or so.
What I loved was, like, the 36 hours or whatever after it came out, and we all sort of listened to it at different times.
Yep.
We all had the same, we're like, oh my, like, what?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
And
this
then,
is,
and oh, then, because I was like, oh my god, and then, like, 18 hours later, Nico's like, oh my god, and then Chris is like, oh my god.
I think the first thing you said was, you know that the singles are good, but what if every other song was as good? And it is. It's there.
And I was like, I will get to it when I get to it. I am cleaning today. And then I got to it, and I was like, I am done cleaning. I am listening to this on the floor.
So, much like we did the bracket, top of your head, I mean, you can look at the playlist, whatever, but like,
too
just
much.
Throw it out there, top 2 songs off of Dedicated right now.
Too Much and I'll Be Your Girl.
You know, Too Much and Want You in My Room.
I'm going to say I'll Be Your Girl in Right Words, Wrong Time, and that's just... going with it, like, if
and
it was
I
just
think
produced a little bit better,
third.
It would maybe be my favorite Carly songs of all time.
Yeah, Julian's probably third.
Julian is up there as well. Automatically in Love and Feels Right has been flying up my list.
I love No Drug
Like
Me.
No Drug Like Me is so good, so good. That was the first song of all of the releases that I really was like, oh, I'm excited. That bass line is great. I'll Be Your Girl, I feel like, is kind of the rock band song of this album, and I'm very into it. Again, it's kind of...
Well, I told you, I want you to create that so I can just do that one intro little riff, and that's
yeah,
it.
It's fun. Any negatives to the album you can think of off the top of your head?
I think there's
some production issues, but other than that, no.
I mean, my only real negative about this record is, and as much as all the flattering, beautiful things we've said about it, was it worth 3-4 years? Will it be worth another 3-4 years if we don't get another side B? How do we feel about that this might be the album that continues to define her into the 2020s?
Do you think we won't get a Dedicated side B in another year?
I don't know. It really depends on how music's shifting, because side B was an element of the leftover reality of the continued popularity of larger records.
I feel like she said she did about 150 songs for this, too.
I mean, but...
There's like
a
session, too.
Number.
But what... Kerry Hilson did 250 songs for that one album, and she had, like, 2 singles.
I mean, between, like... I feel like both of us have probably written 250 songs, but how many of them are good?
Yeah, exactly. And like we said,
all
know,
of them.
So
no.
many of her songs are thematically similar. So
yeah.
I don't want to hear Want You in My Room and Need You in My House and Hope You Come By My Apartment.
Well, that's the Lesson J conundrum I was saying. If she does
Swing
this
by
album,
my shack.
If she does this album again,
fuck me in the shed.
I think the fact that she solidified it and made probably the best version
drop on
of
by
this,
my bomb shelter
that she could. If she does this again, we're gonna hit. There's gonna be a problem. Like,
Va a Bodega.
The next album has to evolve in some way.
Mi Bodega.
What if she puts out a rap album?
Well, but here's my question.
Lil Yachty on every track?
I am not making any kind of ageist statement because I'm 33 and Chris can vouch for the music I've been sending.
I'm
him.
About
I
to be 33.
I think so. I'm 22, but I wonder what's going to happen
the Jonah influence.
When she's... Right? That's dating a... That's dating a
when it just averages out and...
But, yeah, right? We're
you're
both
basically
26.
20... Your dick's 27.
Yeah.
It's got some
which means
on.
It has 1 year to die to be cool.
Oh, can't wait for my dick to die.
27
so,
club.
It's going to be a booty bump, and it's going to join the club. So,
Amy Winehouse.
Kurt Cobain.
Nico's dick.
Top. Janice Joplin.
So, Jenna Jameson, Son of God.
Yep.
And wait, what was I saying?
Only you
the
know
conclusion
if
of the album, if the next one is like this one. Cool, this has been now and again.
Oh, right. Okay. She's 40, and she's still like, hey, who wants to bop with me?
Right. Wait, how old is she, 33-ish?
She's our age, exactly.
I think 34.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think she's a little, like, same year, but different months.
So, like, if she's 34, and that's cool, but at, like, 46, if she's pulling a Madonna, and she's like, I want to make out with Drake's son! And, like, she's trying to, like, still get the kids to hang with her at the mall, I'm going to find it really uncomfortable.
Right. Less Than Jake could sing, I'm so bored of this town, from, like, when I was 18 to 21, but the fact that they're still singing about it and I'm 33 means I don't give a fuck about this band. Like, right. Carly can't still be sad about a boy, and I think there was an evolution of that concept on this album.
Oh, 100%, that's the storyline
right,
we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly, but I think if she doesn't... there's not some wiggle room on the next album, then we're gonna start to see some regression, like, to the mean, like, diminishing returns.
You know, Janet Jackson had The Velvet Rope, which is one of the most revealing looks into mental illness ever, and the follow-up record started with the line, all the girls at that party look at that body shaking that thing like you never did see, got a nice package, all right, because I'm gonna have to ride it tonight. And it featured samples okay. from America, and it featured samples from Carly Simon, and it featured guest raps by Missy Elliott, and it was just not the same record. So, you know, artists can have an incredible piece of art and then say, hey, I want to do something frivolous. This is interesting because this is her doing something frivolous artistically. I'd be interested to see what the slide back would be.
I got nothing else.
Well, I think I asked what your favorite songs were on the album, and I don't even know if we got to that answer.
We did.
But I'm just going to ask.
We did two. We did our favorite twos.
Is there a song on this album? Last question, then we're going to go away. Are there any songs that grab you emotionally? No pun intended.
Julian.
Always pun intended, I guess. When
Julian,
I say
it's the breathy performance. It's the dedication. It's the...
Oh, no.
It's the emotional honesty that she puts into every
it's
note.
It's the kiss of her words.
Oh, yeah, God. It's the call me maybe.
It's the tug of
her.
War between love and hate. God, yeah. Kill me.
It's the side B. It's the that soundtrack. It's the Owl City song.
I think it's too much. I think it's just, you know, it's...
He thinks it's too much, so he can't be part of this.
Oh, yeah. Feels right.
I don't think it's enough.
Feels Right might be the best song
too
ever.
Too much and Feels Right? Stop it!
It might be the best song ever written about hooking up in the next one you know you shouldn't, and it's a real feeling.
Yeah. It's a real feeling you got.
Much like
to.
Runaway With Me grabbed me in 2015, like, at a certain situation in my life, and while it may always be my favorite song, right now, Feels Right is, I think...
Feels Right, Feels Right?
It's a tough story to tell in a song, and I think Feels Right does it really well.
Wait, have you talked about on the show about how she samples the wolf from Night Call on Is It Runaway With Me?
And now she samples a song
Popeye.
From the Popeye soundtrack.
That she had to, like, yeah, lobby like, Disney to get
oh,
her
right,
record.
Oh, right, where she... Yeah. I did that thing where she went to Disney World and got Mickey Mouse's autograph.
Did we answer this?
Disneyland.
Do you guys like He Needs Me or Not?
Yeah.
Yeah, He
Eats Me.
Once I realized it was basically a Hall & Oates, it was the song that the first time through, I was like, I'm skipping this every time. The next time I listened to it, I was like, oh, I get it. I know what we're doing here, and I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dedicated's good.
Dedicated's
thumbs up,
good.
Right? Thumbs up around the board.
Thumbs up around the board.
Cool. This has been Now and Again, Emotion Minute, Snap Reactions to Dedicated.
The snap reaction that took 45 minutes to do a snap reaction.
Like a snapping, like a war between the Sharks and the Jets.
Thanos snapping. Hey, ooh. HTML, check it out.
Hey, assholes, where can they find you?
You can find me on Now and Again. Which,
what's this?
Oh, fuck, okay. You can
with your childhood best friend Chris?
Yeah, childhood best friend Chris.
That's
you
me.
Can find me on HTML with my childhood best husband, Kevo. And you can find
no,
me on X's for
again.
Podcast with my childhood best boyfriend,
oh,
Jonah.
No.
And
no.
You can find me on my comic book with my comic book comic.
And his childhood best friend, Cyclops.
And my childhood best friend,
Nico's brain just broke.
Nico is binary. You can find me on Instagram at NicoAction, though I don't know why you would.
NicoAction.
There's a lot of action on that Instagram.
There sure is. Anybody else, for the love of God, save me from my own voice.
Too Fast, Too Forever, every other Tuesday, TomTom Club, every Friday, cageclub.me, just poke around.
Yeah, I'm at Chris Podcasts on the Twitter. Send in your reactions to Dedicated. We'd love to hear them. At Chris Podcasts, just fucking slide into my DMs, or nowandagaincast@gmail.com. And if you still want to fill out your Carly Mae Madness bracket. That's a thing now.
Your Jep song.
Send it in. Send in your favorite Jep song. And...
Ooh, but can we call it Carly Rae June song? Because it's June?
No.
We
also,
can only do that if
pride.
We do... We can Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, faggots.
Happy...
Okay. We can only do Carly Rae June song if we do Avril April.
What, can we also do Carly Rae July song?
April Lavigne.
April Lavigne's good.
Carl August.
It's in 5 years when we do that.
This is all so terrific. I'm so proud of this.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.